Would you please? The book of 1 Timothy. Appreciate the show of Bibles. 1 Timothy, please, chapter 1. That's sort of an unusual meeting. I've been coming to Grace for a long time. I've been in evangelism 26 years of my life. Been preaching 44 years of my life. And been married 45 years. Somebody said, how do you stay together 45 years? I said, fight it out. Real profound, ain't it? But I'm thrilled to be with Grace. My heart goes out to Brother Lawrence. You know, I really truly believe this. I don't believe it's the shock's hit him yet. My mother died in 1975. And I love my mother more today than I ever loved her in my life. And I've encouraged him over the years. I love Miss Ruby. Do y'all remember I used to pick at her all the time? I'd say, did you ever give him a whooping? I told her one day, I said, none didn't take. I said, you need to redo all of them. We was always cutting up. I love Miss Ruby. But if I could encourage you to do this, what you ought to do is the church, you ought to get together and get a great big card. Everybody sign it if you haven't already did it. And sign it and tell him what he means to you. Right now, he needs you. Now, he may not. Lawrence is good for putting on a front, putting up a facade. Yesterday, he called me. And he's brokenhearted. And I asked him, I said, how you doing? He said, I'm out here by myself. I understand that. I understand that. How many of you ever have lost a loved one? Would you raise your hand? That's a rough time to go through. And we need each other. We all agree with that. People need each other. So let me encourage you to really be a help and a blessing to him. And I think we're going to go immediately. I just know I'm in Madisonville, Kentucky. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to go to the funeral. I don't know nothing else. I just know where I'm at. And nobody will tell me. I'm in a state of confusion. Like a termite in a yo-yo. Don't know where he's going. Well, I've been in some real meetings. I preach every week of my life. Why you find your place in the book of 1 Timothy? How many of you love to laugh? I had rather laugh as any human in this world. Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Every year of my life, I am with the Lumbee Indians. Every year of my life, sometimes twice a year. And I love him Indians. I love them. The preacher I'm with stands about 6'8", weighs about 250, don't have an ounce of fat on his body. What do you think about that? One day I said, Preacher Buck, give me that coat. He gave me his coat, and he wears a size 58 coat. You never seen sleeves hanging down to your car, really. Me and him was picking at each other. I said, listen to me. You ain't Goliath, I ain't David. I'll shoot you. He fell on the floor like I had shot him. Anybody outside me, have you ever heard of the Lowry family? The Lowrys. You've never heard of the Lowry singers? I love them. Now, they're all Lumbee Indians. If you know the ones I'm talking about. And they can sing. Oh, my. Every one of them is a family. And the preacher I'm telling you about is Brother James Lowry. Brother Lowry was about 66 when this happened. Anyway, his wife was a precious woman. I mean a precious woman. Anyway, she had cancer and she had a terrible bout with it and she died. And Brother James pastors the Open Bible Baptist Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I'm with him about every other year. So his wife passes away. One day James is out knocking on the door. Just knocking on the door, out witnessing in the community. And he meets this woman. Her husband has died. His wife has died. They don't even know each other. So he invites her to church. First thing you know, she comes to church, and they go out and start having supper together. Next thing you know, they're married. Uh-huh. And every year, I'd go down there. Every year, I'd see the change. So I go down there, and James is 70, and he's fathered a child. So, little TJ, they got the cutest little boy that you ever laid your eyes on. Boy, he's super intelligent. I mean, super intelligent. He's about 2 years old, 2 and a half. Whatever I do, he wants to do. Isn't that amazing? If I cross my legs, he crosses his legs. If I got boots on, he wears boots. Whatever I do, TJ does. So, we're all down at the church. And so I'm sitting here like this, and watch this. And James is a good preacher. His dad. I said, TJ, come here. Here comes TJ. Sit down right beside him. So I crossed my legs, and he crossed his legs. I said, TJ, who is the greatest preacher in all the world? Thinking that he would say, this is it. He said, my daddy. I said, TJ, who's the greatest singer in all the world? Thinking that he would say his daddy. He said, Johnny Cash. Look here. And before I could say another word, he said, Conway Twitty. His mother was trying to stop him. I thought I would die. I laughed and laughed. I was hurt. He said, Johnny Cash. I love little kids. I love them to death. Hey, the book of 1 Timothy, please. I'll try my best not to be very lengthy. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 8. Boy, listen, we ought to enjoy the house of God. Amen. Hey, we all could be over there fixing to go to a funeral home somewhere permanently. Hey, boy, I enjoy life. Now, I hope you come this week, and I hope you start applying what you hear. All right, 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 8 says, now, Paul is writing to young Timothy. He says, but we know that the law is what? Good. If any man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, and for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be anything other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. He says, this is the reason for the law. But now look in verses 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Then he says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before, would y'all say it back to me? A blasphemer. Who was before a blasphemer? Then he says, a persecutor, injurious. Then he says, but I obtained mercy. Watch it. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul's mind is going back there before he got saved. Now look in verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And then he says, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Lord Jesus, we bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour. Now, Lord, I know and realize that apart from the breath of God, Lord, we'll become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Spirit of God, move upon my heart and hide me behind the cross and bring to my mind that which I've studied. And then, Lord Jesus, I pray, would you, Lord, be near the Richardson family. Lord, I pray for Brother Lawrence in a special way. Lord, I pray for Miss Amy, her grandmother. Lord, I realize that she's been sick all these many years. And Lord, to some degree, it's prepared them, knowing that it's her 86 years old. Lord, she's going to leave this world at any moment. But then, Lord, in the stillness and the quietness when they get alone, Lord, their grandmother will no longer be there. Lawrence's mother will no longer be there. Lord, I pray for them. Oh, God, Lord, as you stood at the grave of Lazarus, and Lord, you wept. Lord, would you please gather them up in your arms. And Lord, would you, Lord, just be no so near them. Help them through this, I pray. Help this church family to be near him. Enable us, and I pray, Spirit of God, do your office work this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, I left out this morning, and I'd been over in Roanoke, Virginia. And it's dangerous for me to think, but I do that occasionally. Go back, look in 1 Timothy, if you would, please. I want to preach for a little while on the unforgotten shame. I was 19 years old when God saved me, and I was a drunk. I was no alcoholic. I was a drunk. You'll never hardly hear me use that term. I lived on the streets, and yesterday we have a huge car show in Somerset, and so my brother came by, and we went over to the car show just for a few minutes, and my brother has got a 51 Chevrolet street rod, a real nice 51 Chevrolet street rod. So we're sitting out there, and it was hot. And we popped the trunk on that old 51 Chevrolet. It's a club coupe. If you've never seen one of them, they got a trunk big enough you can almost lay down in. So anyway, we didn't have enough chairs for everybody. So I just climbed up in the trunk. Now I know I'm 63 and a half years old. I know I don't look it, but I can still do that. So I climbed up in the trunk of that old car, and it was hot. I mean, it's nice. I mean, it was upholstered and all that stuff. And so we were sitting there, and I was in the trunk of that old car and had my back leaning against the spare tire. And my mind flooded back to when I used to live in an old car. I mean, I lived on the streets. And I say this to my shame. I remember I used to get drunk and stay drunk for days and not know where I've been at or who I've been with or what I've done. So now some 44 years later, thank God I know where my car's at. I know who I've been and what I've done. Hey, but every now and then my mind reflects and goes back to that day and hour when God saved me. I don't ever want to forget where God saved me from. I don't ever want to forget that. Everybody always remembers what I was and how I used to be and what I've done. But I'm saying all these many years of my life, boy, I'm glad God loves sinners. Would y'all say amen? I'm glad God loves sinners. Amen. I've seen God save drunks and harlots and thieves. I've seen God save about every Christ you can think of. But what I want to do this morning is found, if you look in your Bible, I want to preach on this subject, on the unforgotten shame. Paul now is remembering his own sin. Look down in verse 15. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to do what? To save sinners. Not to educate them, not to be an example, but thank God save them again. To save sinners. Anybody that's got any sense at all, judgment's coming. Anybody that's got any sense at all, judgment is coming, amen. The man I made requested prayer for, I wish everybody in this building would do this for me. This preacher friend, I met him, I don't know him real well, I met him a couple of times. He had been to the intensive care at High Point, North Carolina. He went to get gas in his car, put gas in his car. This man walked up to him and wanted some money. And you've got to know this preacher. He said, I don't have any money to give to you to buy beer or wine or liquor, but he said, I will buy you something to eat. The man pulled out a gun and shot him. And the preacher that I'm telling you about is in intensive care in the High Point Hospital, not right now, laying right between life and death. But the reason why I brought up this is the most violent society I've ever seen in all my life. The Bible says in Genesis, it says, every imagination of man's heart, he will continue and repent in God and every man. Do you ever stop to think what it's going to be like to our children and grandchildren? Do you ever just stop sometime? And I mean, do you ever just think what it's going to be like down the road? It seems like today that the criminals are glorified and the victims are penalized. It seems like the wicked out here, it seems there's no law that seems... Hey, I seen we're in the state of Kentucky. I come in and this... I'm a native Kentucky and I love Kentucky. But did you know the governor that was just elected? He said last year that crime rate went up 600% in the state of Kentucky. That's awful. Would y'all say amen to that? Break-ins. I mean, out killing, shooting, breaking, stabbing. And then they tell you what else they're going to do. Now then, they're contemplating and getting together, the governor of the state of Kentucky, on letting out all the non-felonies. Yeah. Ain't that pitiful? You know what that's going to do? You can break me over the coals after the service. It's going to say to these criminals, there's no consequences to your deeds or whatever you do. I mean, they'll turn you loose. Now they have these little damn shop laws. I mean, you can go in and 30 days later, they'll set you out. Now, I know y'all don't get upset, but I do. I get upset and I travel so much. And I see what's happening. Like, we're living in a soup. Our society is in a soup. That man down in Florida, you don't know how this it bothers me, it burns me up. That man that went over there, I know y'all know who I'm talking about. The man that got the little 8-year-old girl out of her bedroom, took her to his trailer and raped her, maimed her, sodomized her, and then put her in a plastic bag. How many of y'all seen this? Hey, watch this. Did you know now then they got him for criminally insane? He'll be in a what they call a criminally insane, not an asylum, no. He's not in prison. We'll take care of him. He'll be in a heat and air, air conditioned. He'll get 3 meals a day. We'll furnish his clothes. Hey, I'm talking about after what he done to that child. Right. We're in a sewer, amen. Right. Anybody that's got any sense, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Now, this is with that in your mind, I believe this all my heart. Paul was an insulter of Christ. Hey, he accused him. Read your Bible in Acts chapter 9. This man that I'm talking about, Saul of Tarsus, How many of y'all remember that on one occasion in the book of Acts, Paul took his... how many of y'all remember when they were stoning Stephen? Y'all remember they laid the coats down at 2 feet by the name of Saul of Tarsus? He thought, if you check it out, Saul thought he was doing what God wanted him to do, but yet Paul was not the same man. Paul didn't get saved in Acts chapter 9. But he never forgot that. My point is watch this. He was an insulter, a persecutor. He tried to annihilate the church. He was insolent. He was violent. And this man was a blasphemer. Look in your Bible in verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer? I used to be a blasphemer. I'm not proud of that. But he said he was a blasphemer. And then it says, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy. Look up here a moment. Hallelujah, thank God. I obtained mercy, amen. That's what we all need this morning, mercy. We don't need judgment. We got judgment. We all get what we get. We get hell. Thank God for grace. Amen. But then I thought about the surest way I know of getting rid of all the pride in our life is never forgetting what garbage heap God dug us out of. Amen. Boy, America is so full of pride. Would y'all say amen? I mean, our society is so filled with it. How many of y'all remember 9/11? Would you raise your hand? Do y'all remember after 9/11? Do y'all remember? How many policemen was hugging firemen, and firemen was hugging policemen? How many of y'all remember our president, in the Oval Office, sit down and tears run down his face, all be broken? Do y'all remember that? And then the reporters jumped on him because they said, we don't need a weak, passive, no, under here. I'm saying, thank God we had a president that could repay that.
Amen.
But my point is, now watch this. We need to come on up. How many of y'all remember that they declared Sunday after 9/11? How many of y'all remember a day of prayer? How many of y'all remember that it was a traffic jam on people going to the house of God after 9/11? Now look up here. Where are they at now? You see, 9/11 is over. Say amen. I'll tell you when we're getting to this pride. America after 9/11, we lost almost 3,000 people. Never before we had anything to... Let me tell you the next time. Boy, when they get one of the dirty bombs and thousands on thousands and thousands of people die, it does not drive us to our knees, amen. Oh, you say, brother, sister, I'm talking about the surest way I know to get rid of all of this pride that's in our life is not forgetting where God brought us from, amen. Churches are filled with it. Our homes are filled with it. Proverbs 13, verse 10 says, only by pride comes contention. We won't admit we're wrong and God's right. Say amen. Divorce court. I've never seen nothing like it. People married 35, 40, 50 years getting divorces, and you get down to where the bottom meets, where the rubber meets the road. It's called pride. Amen. We think we can manage our life. We think we can control our life. We think we're the steering wheel. We think we're the one. No. God breathed in the man. Man became what? A living soul. God is in control. In Him we live and move and have our being. Now, if you want some real good advice, the best way I know to keep your home together is get rid of this pride. Say amen. The best way I know to keep your church together is get rid of this pride. Amen. Let me tell y'all this. Look up here and I'll preach in a minute. Where I'm from is Pulaski County. There's 14 churches in our county without a pastor. 14 churches in our county without pastors. Let me tell you when you really appreciate Mark Fisherson. When you don't have it. Let me tell you when you really appreciate Grace Baptist. When you don't have it. Let me tell you when you really appreciate your mom and dad. When you don't have it. Let me tell you when you really appreciate your grandma and grandpa. When you don't have it. And the reason why that we're not so appreciative is because of a thing called pride. In Pulaski County, a church was meeting. They had a preacher, 81 years old. They better be glad I wasn't there. 81 years old. The men came to him and said, we think God's done with you. He said, God's not told me nothing about it. So they asked him to leave. He's 81 years old. On a Sunday night, they went out and gathered everybody up there to that sorry bunch and brought them to that church. And listen to this. Can you believe that I'm talking about they were going to literally throw that old gentleman out of that church house? It got so bad they pulled out pocket knives. Men did. Just pulled out pocket knives and women tried to pull each other's hair out. Look at me. They'll never live it down. The county sheriff had to come and stand in the vestibule just to keep order. What are you trying to get me to see? When you get down the road, the river meets the road, it's called pride. And rebellion. Say amen. Hey, I'm talking about the surest way I know to get rid of all this pride is doing what? It's not forgetting where God brought you from. Paul never forgot the Damascus Road. He never forgot when God saved him. The surest way I know also how to do this is to want to be your best. What do you mean, preacher? Is give it all you got. Why, brother, sister? Is not forgetting where God brought you from. Oh, I believe this all in my heart. The world out here. Boy, I have a problem with this. I have a real problem.
This world says, you've got to win. The world don't like a loser. If I have any sense at all, when you're playing a game, somebody's got to lose. Say amen to me. We don't know nothing about our friends. Hey, look here. I'm talking about, I know we don't believe this. Everybody, I mean, the secular world, they want to do their best. We all want to give God our very best. Amen. You know the reason why? Because he gave his very best. Amen. But the surest way I know, is to want to do your very best is remembering where God brought you from. The world gives their best. They train and they discipline their body. Say amen. They train, they discipline their body to do what? To play a game. So what I'm saying, the surest way I know to get rid of all this pride is remembering where God brought us from. The surest way I know to want to do your very best is remembering where God brought you from. The surest way also, go back, look in your Bible in verse 12. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus. Boy, that got all over me. I mean, literally. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. So I thought about this. The surest way I know to keep thankfulness of heart in your heart aflame. Boy, I don't never want to forget that day God saved me. Amen. Hey, Paul says with me, 40 verse 3, I thank Christ upon every remembrance of you. Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, what can I render thanks to God again for you? He's always using that word thankless. I thought to myself, if I could get here this morning, look back if you would in your Bible, and look if you would in verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus. So I thought about this. I thought about the surest way I know to keep thankfulness of heart, a flame in your heart, is just doing what? Remembering what garbage heap God dug you up out of. Don't you think we ought to be thankful? Don't you think we ought to be more thankful to the Lord than just one day a year? Let me tell you something. Look up here. The shock may not hit Brother Lawrence right now. It may not hit him right now. But when he's, is the mobile home still out here? When he sees furniture or something that belonged to his mother, and it'll trigger in his mind. Guess what? And I thought about this, oh my. The surest way I know to really be thankful, boys, never forgetting where God brought you from, never forgetting what he's done for you, and never forgetting where you're going to go. I mean, with all my heart, I mean this first and foremost. I mean, you ought to thank God for knowing you're saved. S-A-V-E-D, born again, had a conversion experience. Amen. Or you ask the general people out here, they don't know they're saved. You ask the woman, they don't know they're saved. Hey, I'm talking about, could you not be mixed up in that bunch? Could you not be some sort of cult? I mean, hey, if you really genuinely know you're saved, you ought to thank God for that. Amen. Have you not know you're saved, not ashamed? Hey! Hey, Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus. You ought to jump up and say, God, thank you for my conversion experience. Amen. Well, I said, man, thank God I know I'm saved. Hallelujah. See, you don't look like much, but he's still working on it. Hey, I thank God. Amen. Hey, I'm talking about the surest way I know to keep thankfulness aflame in your heart is not forgetting where God brought you from. I believe you ought to thank God for your conversion experience. I believe you ought to thank God. I believe this with all my heart. I believe you ought to thank God for the Christ of glory. Boy, every day of my life, every day of my life. Did you know most people don't even know who Jesus is? Right. It's a terminology that they use. They just use his name as a slang form. Or they try to put a whole lot of words together that rhyme. Christ is the Son of God. Would y'all say something to me? Amen. He's the Son of God, the virgin-born Son of God. Every now and then you've got to get on your knees and say, God, thank you that Christ came and died and paid my sin to me. Amen. Oh, I thank God for you. I do. Hallelujah. Hey, I thank the Lord for Christ. And I'll tell you something else I believe you ought to do this with all my heart. Write these down for me. Now, so if you don't need them, you're going to. I believe you ought to thank God for your church. The church is a protective head. And I believe you ought to, when I'm talking about the church, I'm not talking about these walls. Would y'all say amen to me? I'm not talking about the protective head. You ought to thank God for each other. And then you ought to have a service where you just thank God for each other. Amen. I've never seen such stuff going on in churches all my life. Never in my life. Oh, brother, sister. Boy, a good church is worth its weight in gold. If y'all want to have a Quaker meeting? They just come in and sit down. Look here. I believe with all my heart that church is a protective hedge. I believe that. I believe with all my heart. I hesitate to remember. I hate to even think about this. What my wife and I would be involved in. What would I be doing if I had not got saved and got in a good Bible reading, Bible preaching church? Did you know this? I believe that's one of the reasons why that our home is together today. We raised our children. My children, just like everybody else, I listen to the preacher kids, the meanest kids in the world. That's because I hang around the biggest kids.
Get involved. Invest your time. Get involved in a good church. Amen. Thank God for your church. You ought to thank God for your children. Say amen.
Oh, I thank God for my kids. I do. I never seen one of my kids smoke a cigarette. Never seen one of my kids drink alcohol. Never had to get one out of jail. That's a blessing. Say amen. That's a blessing. Mine's as big as yours. That's amen. But my point is, I'm saying you ought to thank God for your children. Amen. How do you stand it? It's got so many more when the kids all come home. I mean, it's terrible. I like it when my kids come home, but I like it when all of my brand new grandkids. I like it, but I still like it when they go home. I make no apology. I told them kids, I said, I get so tired of hearing this. I said, yeah, you would let me do that. Mommy would let me do that. I said, we're a little older. You know what I'm talking about. My boy, hey, now that they come home and tell you all that stuff that they got by with and then they get a whoop. I said, you're about to get one now. Amen. But my point is, do you ever thank God for your children? Do you do that? Do you ever thank God for them? When years gone by, used to, they thank God for every little body part. Thank God had all these little toes, had all these little fingers. Say amen. But now that they throw them in dumpsters and leave them and oh my God, they forsake me. I'm saying you ought to thank God for your children. Amen. Boy, I do. Man, I love them grandkids. I love them grandkids. He said, Dad, I can't believe this. I can't believe that. I said, listen, I brought you into this world. I'll take you out. Forgive me for a moment. Paul said, the surest way, and I'm trying to get you to see it, you ought to thank God for your church. You ought to thank God for your children. You ought to thank God for your conversion. Amen. I'll tell you something else you ought to thank God for. You ought to thank God for your companion in life. Right. Amen. Boy, do you ever just thank God for your wife? You ever thank God for your husband? Do you really? I mean, do you really ever just thank God for each other? Had a man call me yesterday. Bless his heart. I feel so sorry for him. My heart bleeds for him. He said, but listen, he's angry with all that he said. And I said, Dwayne, I said, what won't you do? So if you get off this phone, if you go get your wife, I want you and her to get in there to the bedroom and close the door, get down on your knees and thank God. I said, I want you to do that. I said, go in there, thank, get down on your knees and thank God for each other. Amen. Listen to this. So I told him to do it. Can you believe he called me back? And he said, well, sister, I did. He said, can you believe thank you better? I said, wonderful. Hey, I'm saying, you ought to thank God. I guarantee. See, some of y'all, you don't understand. To lose your wife or lose your husband has to go home to an empty house. Or sit across from an empty table. Or sit sit in a chair and look at a favorite chair that your husband or your wife's sitting there.
Every now and then, boy, you ought to thank God for your companion in life. Amen. Hey, I told my wife the other day, I said, boy, I'd hate to be 20 years old trying to find a mate in this life.
Same thing right there. I mean that with all the truth in you. I've never seen such stuff going on. And I know y'all think I'm painting a black picture, but I'm saying you ought to thank God for your conversion. You ought to thank God for your church. You ought to thank God for your children.
You ought to thank God for your companion in life. Then I believe this all my heart. You ought to thank God for your Christian home. Boy, I'm so glad my home. Our home's just like everybody else's. I told this guy the other day, bless his heart.
He said, I was listening to you on the radio. And he said, you said you go to bed at night and don't even touch toes. I said, I didn't think I said that. I said, well, I did say that. I said, you get mad. And I said, we go to bed. She turns over one way, you turn over the other side, and you don't touch toes. What is the guy with that? And I said, you get up, watch this. I'm glad, thank God, they all just knock down, fighting, cussing, slamming doors. Was y'all saying to him?
Amen.
I'm saying, you ought to thank God for your home.
Right.
You ought to thank God for all this turmoil and trying to kill each other. And I'm going to leave you. And, hey, I bless the name of God. I told my wife, she's afraid of us. She said, we ain't had a fight so long. I said, well, it ain't over yet. How long do you want to? Hey, I'm talking about you ought to thank God for a Christian home.
Amen.
That's the Lord. I'll show you in a minute. Watch this.
Go back, look if you would, in your Bible. Look back in verse 12. What time is it? You ought to thank God, for your conversion experience. You ought to thank God for your church. You ought to thank God for your companion life. You ought to thank God for your children. Hey, and you ought to thank God to live in America. Amen.
Boy, I've been on mission fields. Every time I come back, boy, I jump up and down and I say, thank God, hallelujah, to live in America. With all of our problems, with all of our problems, with Obama, even Hillary, with all the problems we got, we're still the best in the whole world.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, whether you like this or whatever you want to, it ain't going to get no better until we repent toward God.
Amen.
I tell people all the time, it ain't going to get any better until we repent toward God. Brother, sister, but I've seen, you've never seen people eat out of garbage cans. I have. I've seen kids sift through garbage cans and eat the whatever thing they put scraps they put in garbage cans.
Amen.
Hey, I'm talking about, if anybody in this country, if they're living on the streets or whatever, or that kind of poor, it's because of their own sorry, say amen. Say amen to me.
Amen.
I've seen the other day where they had a sign that said $13.50 of working a fast food restaurant. I started to apply. I mean, $13 and a half, I mean, starting out at a fast food business. Okay. Did you hear what I just said? I said in the man, you ought to get on your face somewhere and say, God, thank you for living in America. You could have been born somewhere east side there. You could have been born in the east, and you could have been born in the Congo, where they're killing people, raping people, maiming people. Hey, thank God for America,
amen.
Sorry, bunch of folks. It's like this guy coming to my garage and he's coming to me up. One of them was going to vote for him. I said, no. Well, yeah, that's what I'm going for. He said, well, I said, you're going to take your word, David, didn't you? But my point is, he come in and he's all smiles and handsome. I said, you said, that would you go ahead? He said, I'll vote that. I said, right here, I do. And you see, he did not ask me if I'm registered. He did not ask me if I go to vote. He did not ask me all this kind of stuff. What's wrong with us turning the ground on him? You see, I would die. Don't blame him. Misquote me now. Don't you misquote me. The thing out there in Texas, them 400 plus six kids that they come and took out of that compound that they will call a ranch, I'm against them polygamists with everything that you're doing. I would die for their Second Amendment rights. I would die for that. But I'm going to tell you right now, I guarantee you, those children that they took out of there, they're worried about them adjusting. You know what they're worried about? They're worried about them adjusting to us. I'll guarantee you they're far more adjusted kids than most of our kids are.
Yeah.
They didn't even know what television was.
Right.
They didn't know what all these movies, X-rated movies was. Amen to me.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get you to see with all the problems that we have, we still ought to
First Timothy, please, in chapter 1, I want you to write this down. The surest way I know to get rid of all this pride is this in verse 15. He says, to save sinners of whom I am chief. So Paul was saying the surest way I know to get rid of all pride is to thank God. Hey, you ought to thank God for have a flame of being thankful down in your heart is never forgetting what garbage heap God dug you out of. Amen. I've seen God save drug addicts and potheads and everything you can think of. Surest way I know to want to do your best is never forgetting where God brought you from. The surest way I know to want to be an encouragement to others, say, to other people, saying, look what Christ done for me. Hey, tonight I'm going to tell you all about Walmart. I'm fixing it. We got signs on our backyard that says, on our porch says, when I die, bury me at Walmart. I was passed up. Yeah. I was over at Denham Street Baptist Church. I'm there every year. It's like the week before Thanksgiving. Ned is colored man. Nicest guy you ever seen, more well-dressed. Hey, I mean well-dressed, well-dressed man, very educated man. He come in and sat down up here on the front door, and he had two little kids, nice little kids, well-dressed kids. And his, I'm telling you, before God's mother earth, it looked like he had used Bobby Lowell in his head. His head was glowing. He didn't have a hair on his head. Honestly, he's sitting underneath that light. Boy, I got the vision. He stood up and he said, would you mind if I say something? I didn't know what the name of heaven was. I didn't know what to do. I swore to God, tears were running down his chin. He was so broken. He said, I was in the middle of Walmart. I was in the electronic department. And said, a man got to witness to me. And said, I was a crackhead. Said, I used dope. I sold dope. He said, nothing I would do. Said, God save me. He said, I'm here to tell you to get me to make Walmart. Cheapest of sinners. Look in your Bible. The surest way I know to want to be an encouragement to others is just stand up and say, look what Jesus done for me. Amen. Here's my text verse. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus. You know what I want to do? We got to go to the funeral home. I want us to stand, bow our heads, close our eyes. Pianist is going to come. Song leader is going to come. I believe you ought to thank God for what he did for us. I believe you ought to thank God for where he brought us from. I believe you ought to thank God, hallelujah, to know where you're going, amen. Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. How many of you unashamedly can say, Brother Sisson, I know I've had a genuine conversion experience with the Lord. Would you raise your hand? Raise up right. All right, if you know that, if you truly know that, why don't you get out of your seat and come and fall on your knees and say, God, thank you, I could raise my hand.